Good evening to everyone. It's good to see you here. I hope that you have had a great day, and I'm glad that we can be back together. It's been a busy day. I know that the Lydia ladies and the Good Company group had a good lunch together, good fellowship, and we're thankful for that. And we are thankful for the good works that they're involved in. We were able to have services at Willowbrook this afternoon, and several of you were there, and I know that the folks that are there appreciate that effort very, very much. And then we had our prayer service this past evening at 5 o'clock. Brother Ned leads us in that, and I appreciate that effort a great deal. There's great power in prayer, and we're thankful that we can be together and pray together, and I'm glad we can be involved in good efforts like that. Of course, we don't want to just be praying one night in the month. We're going to be praying every day, often, but certainly it's good when we can come together like that. And then to have our opportunity again to worship, and then following our services this evening, we have Sunday night for the Savior. So we hope you can be involved in that good visitation work as well. The lesson that I want to share with you tonight, I've entitled, How to Really Love Your Spouse. You know, people have a lot to say about marriage. Sometimes it's kind of good, sometimes it's not so good. I imagine it depends on where someone is in life and maybe their experiences. I heard someone say that marriage is an awful lot like a deck of cards. When you start out, all you need is two hearts and a diamond. And by the end, a lot of people want a club and a spade. Well, I hope that's not us. You know, marriage is God's idea. He's the one who designed it. When you go all the way back to the beginning and the creation, you find that it was God who said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a companion for him, a help that is meet unto him, one that is perfectly suited for him. And so God created marriage with the intention of it being one male and one female for a lifetime. And that plan is perfect. Now, we sometimes have difficulties in our marriages, and a lot of it has to do with the way that we deal with each other as husband and wife. A lot of time, husbands wonder, why can't my wife think more like a man? And the wife must be thinking, why can't he think a little bit more like a woman? Well, there's a good reason why we can't do that. That's not who we are. God made us differently, but we can learn to grow in our marriages. In fact, that's what we need to do. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter writes and says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is with your wife, according to knowledge. According to knowledge. It's something that you have to learn. Men, you're not born with this instinct to be a great husband. Wives, you're not born with this great instinct to be a tremendous wife. Now, I do think that in general, wives are a little ahead of us when it comes to marriage. They're more mature. Surprise, surprise, huh? But they're a little bit ahead of us, better at relationships. And so we all need to be learning so that we can grow and be the people God wants us to be, have the oneness that God wants us to have in marriage, and to gain this knowledge. Now, I suppose there are a lot of places you could go to get knowledge. There are a lot of books about marriage that you could read, and I imagine that there is some information in them that it can be pretty good, can be helpful to us in our marriages, especially if someone is writing based upon the teachings of God's Word. However, there is a lot out there that might even be harmful to our marriages, and so we have to be careful about going to the world for our answers. Why not go to the one who created it? Go to our God. He's given us the greatest manual on marriage that there could be. It is the Bible. And while we're not going to look at every passage that talks about marriage that we find in the Scriptures, I do want us to spend some time tonight thinking about Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 22. And we'll notice here some things that Paul writes to wives, some things that he writes unto husbands. Now, keep in mind, as we look at these things, that Paul is going to say, I am writing especially about the relationship between Christ and his church. But he also is holding that relationship up to us as the perfect example of what the marriage relationship is to be. So let's look at these verses, beginning at verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Notice something with me. You have headship in this relationship, and that position is given unto the husband. When we look at the Scriptures, we find at different times there being headship or leadership even among equals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul explains that the head of Christ is God. Yet they're equals, but there is headship, and that the head of every woman is the man. And here, in the marriage relationship, we're equals, but there is headship or leadership that is given unto the husband in this relationship. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You look at those three verses, and it's very clear when you read them that the idea that we're to come away with is that the wife is to be in subjection unto her husband. It's said two or three different times. Look at verse 25 then. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Think for a moment about the great love that Jesus demonstrates for the church. Paul holds it up as an example to us husbands. You love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. He purchased the church with his own blood. No greater sacrifice could be made. And that's the example of how we are to love our wives. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Who said that to start with? Do you remember? Who was the first one to say a man is going to leave his father and mother? You got to go all the way back to Genesis, and Adam is the one who said it. Now, what's interesting about that is he didn't have a mother or father to leave. He said that for us, folks, the rest of us, that here's what marriage is supposed to be. You leave mom and dad and you cleave unto your wife. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Remember, that's his main point. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And folks, really, When you think about this passage, as far as the husband and wife are concerned, the key is verse 33. That's the idea that Paul, that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us through His Word. Husbands, you are to love your wives as you love yourself, as you love your own body. And wives, you are to reverence your husband. And so you look at these ideas and you see God's plan for marriage and how we can really love our spouse. Now, let's get a little more specific. Let's talk first of all about how to really love your wife. And there are four thoughts that I want to share with you. Now, I gave everyone a handout. I think some of those, instead of saying 1, 2, 3, 4, say 5, 6, 7, 8. You're not missing anything. It's just when I copied it to the other side, it must have just put those numbers in there. So I apologize for that. You can go ahead and correct it if you want. But we're going to look at four ways in which we as husbands can really love our wives. And they all come from Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the first idea. To really love our wife, we need a passionate love. A passionate love. Now, I know that there are some men thinking, don't worry there, preacher. I got it taken care of. You know, I'm a passionate husband. The word that is used here about love that we'll notice in verse 25 isn't the word for erotic love. It's agape. It's that all-encompassing love. It's that love that always is seeking what is best for the other. And that's what we need to be passionate about. Notice, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus made. And that's the way that we are to love our wives, with that kind of passion. That we are willing to sacrifice self. Someone might ask the question, are you willing to lay down your life for your wife? And I hope that every man would say, yes, I am. I would give my life for my wife. I love her that much. Do you love her enough to live for her? You have to do that every day. When I think about the sacrifice that Jesus made and the example that it sets for us, I think what we need to see is, men, there is nothing I won't give up for my wife. Maybe as we talk with one another, my wife says, honey, I think you might be spending a little bit too much time at work. We're not getting enough time together. Can we do something about that? And instead of grumbling and complaining, okay, I'll do that. I'll give up some of that time. Maybe some of them, maybe I have to give something else up, but my wife wants more time with me. Honey, maybe you're spending too much time hunting. Now, I know preacher's gone to meddling now instead of just preaching. Maybe you're spending too much time fishing or golfing or with that old car or whatever else it may be. And maybe we feel like, no, I'm not. I'm not. That's not too much time. I could spend a whole lot more time. But if she feels that way, folks, she feels that way, men, are you willing to sacrifice? To give up anything for your wife? That's the kind of love that's being talked about here. Jesus gave Himself for the church. We need to be willing to sacrifice anything for our wives. You know, part of this kind of love is just all the little things that we need to do. I read of a marriage seminar where they have the women do this. They don't ask the men. They just ask the women. You write down the most romantic thing your husband has done for you in the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks. Now, I don't know what's coming to your mind. Some of you are probably saying, nothing. You know, but then there's some that, if you give it a little thought, You're thinking of little things. You know what? He ran the dishwasher for me the other night. He never does that, and he did that. He knew I was tired, and he knew that I had a tough day, and he said, honey, you sit down, I'll give the kids a bath. I'll do that tonight. You know, or hey, you know what? I've got an extra 30 minutes. I'm coming home 30 minutes early, and I want to help you with the house. You know, what's the dirtiest job? What's the one you don't like the most? I'll take care of it. Yeah, no, but little things. One lady wrote down, for our anniversary, he cleaned out the refrigerator. Now, that doesn't sound very romantic, does it? But in her mind, it was, because it's little things. That's why men, and again, we don't think like this, but those dates, those special dates matter to our wives. Those birthdays and anniversaries. And now to us, it's like, well, why do you, what, flowers? What good? They're going to die. You know, but for a woman, she likes those things. Now my wife, she's suspicious when I bring home flowers. You see, when I first started working at Camden Avenue in Parkersburg, we had four morticians that worked that went to church with us. And so I'd get flowers all the time, but they were from funeral services, you know. So that you don't get many points for that. But it matters to them. I remember hearing about a fella that forgot his wife's birthday one year. She woke up just wondering if he would do anything, and he didn't even mention it in the morning. He went out to his car, his pickup truck, and kind of reached down to find. He found a card. It was a Christmas card he had forgot to give her. And so he went in and said, honey, I got a Christmas card for you. She thought he was joking. It's really a birthday card. She opened it. It was a Christmas card. He went on to work and not a word, no call or anything like that. Came home and they ate supper together. And it was a Wednesday night. They went to Bible study together. And on the way home, he said, honey, I got to stop at Walmart. She thought, oh, this is it. He's going to go in and get me something. And he came out with a tackle box. And he said, early birthday present for himself. She said, it's somebody's birthday and it ain't you. He forgot. Now, I've always heard the easiest way to remember your anniversary is forget it once. Because after that, she'll never let you forget it. But folks, those little things, they matter. You want to know how to really love your wife? It's in those little things. It's that passionate love. Sacrifice of self. I'm the first to sacrifice in this marriage. And there's nothing I won't give up for my wife. Here's the second answer. And that is, we need a purifying love. Need a passionate love, but you need a purifying love. Notice verse 26. The text says that he, that's Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He wanted his bride to be pure and holy. The church. And our love for our wives, husbands, needs to be a purifying love. We are going to try our very best to help our wives to be the radiant Christian that God wants her to be. Husbands, we've got to think about it. Are we going to be spiritual leaders in our families, or are we going to be spiritual anchors? We need to be men who are going to help our family spiritually. God gave us that role of headship. We talked about it a moment ago. And that means we're to be the spiritual leaders. I realize that men have been given that role in the church. And that's why we have men who lead in our worship. But that role is in the home as well. And so I'm going to lead our family to be a praying family, a Bible reading family, a worshiping family, a family that's involved in spiritual things to help my wife to grow to become the Christian God wants her to be. It's a purifying love as well. And then it needs to be a protecting love. You notice that in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We're the protector. She's the weaker vessel, the Bible tells us. It's talking about physically. And so, when you hear that bump in the night, men, you're the one who gets up to go check. I know you don't want to. I've been married 32 years. I know the first thing you say. I didn't hear anything. That's just what you say. But you're not going to get back to sleep until you go check. And so you might as well go do it. And that's okay. You're to protect her. You love her as you love yourself, as you love your own body. And folks, that doesn't mean just physically providing that protection. Emotionally as well. Women are different than men when it comes to emotions. Our wives in general feel a lot more things. They do a lot more things by their feelings than we do. And we may struggle understanding that. But we're going to try and help them. Let me give you an example. What do you do? What do you do? Your wife calls you at work and says, "Honey, I'm sorry, but I locked the keys in the car." What are you going to do? Now, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go and unlock that car. You will. That's what you're going to do that. But how are you going to handle it? Are you going to be a husband that says, "What? Don't you realize I work for a living? Why are you bothering me? Whatever," you know, and just go on and make her feel about this big and you still unlock the car. Or are you going to be someone who's going to protect her? Are you going to say, "You know what, honey? I'm sorry you did that. I've done that before too. Or I've done something like that. And you know what? I've got a meeting here. I've got to take care of this. But as soon as I get out of that, I'll be there." And you go and you unlock the car. And maybe you even say, "Hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Or with my wife, let's go get a Mountain Dew." And, you know, turn it into a positive. Protect her. That's what we've got to do. You want to really love your wife? It's a protecting love, not just physically, but emotionally as well. And then finally, we need that providing love. Providing love. Verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And so we're going to provide for it. And again, that's not just physically, not with just a house and food and clothing and so forth, but emotionally as well. And men, we really kind of struggle with this because, again, our minds work differently. But when our wives are struggling with something, they're frustrated, they've had a rough day, and they want to talk about it, you know where our mind goes? We'll fix it. Right? I mean, they start talking about a problem, we're going to fix it for them. That isn't what they want. You let women talk to women. And you listen, and they'll talk and talk and talk and talk. I know they talk a lot. But the other just listen. And they give that support back. And that's really what they need from us as we're providing that support for them. I tell you, men, a good thing to practice. You just say, Now, don't do it sarcastically. You'll get smacked. But as she's talking, you just, and let her keep talking. Let her know you're listening. You're caring about what she's going through. You're not trying to fix her. But you're there to provide for her what she needs. And so you look at the kind of love that Christ has for the church, and it's the perfect model for us as husbands on how to love our wives. Now, let's talk to the wives. How to really love your husband. Just a couple things to keep in mind, and you'll probably see some overlap here, but the first idea is simply respect. Respect your husband. And isn't that what you see in the scriptures? Verse 33 of Ephesians 5, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So you respect him. I don't know how you did it exactly, wives, but as you were dating, you were sending a message to your spouse, or spouse-to-be, that I really respect you. It might have been the way that, you know, you turned your head just a little bit. It might have been the little words that you spoke. It might have been the nice things that you said about him to other people. But you gave the message to him, I respect you, and I really believe that you are someone that can make me happy for the rest of my life. And he liked that. He liked that a lot. He liked it so much that he put a ring on your hand. But sometimes, if we're not careful, things change. You know, husbands get a bad rap a lot of times about, you know, they're the ones that change. They're not as romantic as they used to be and that kind of. But wives can change too. And quite often, a wife will go from being that one who shows that reverence or respect to almost it's a nurturing mode. You almost, at times, if you're not careful, turn your husband into a big child. And you know what? You feel like, I can make him better. I can just make him better. And so you begin offering what you call constructive criticism. Going to help him out, you see. And in your mind, you're doing a good thing. You're helping him. In his mind, he is dying the death of 1,000 cuts. Because every time he hears that little criticism, he feels like, I don't measure up anymore. I'm not quite good enough anymore. I'm not her hero anymore. Now again, that's not to say that we can't work on things. We can't improve on things. We've got to be able to talk with each other about things. But when it's constant and you think it's nurturing, he thinks it's another word that starts with N. I'm not going to mention it. And so we've got to be careful about that and make sure we're giving him the reverence, the respect that we did when we were dating. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verses 5 and 6. "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." She showed him respect and reverence. And that's a wonderful way to show your husband that you love him, how to really love your husband. Now, this next idea just kind of goes right along with it, but there's a word added: unconditional. Give your husband unconditional respect. Ladies, it's not something that your husband should have to ask for. In fact, most husbands are probably afraid to ask, "Do you respect me?" Because they're afraid of the answer. What are they going to say if you say no? But you owe them that respect. I know someone's really quick to say, "Well, my husband, you don't know the way he lives, and the way he lives, he hasn't earned any respect. He doesn't have to earn it." Not this. You've got to respect him. reverence him. That's part of the marriage agreement. Husband, you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, you're going to submit unto your husbands. You're going to reverence him. And if we're not willing to do that, don't get married. No one said you had to get married. You can be a Christian and be single. But if you're going to marry, you do it God's way. And you give him unconditional respect. If I start singing R-E-S-P-E-C-T, who comes to mind? Ah, Aretha Franklin. She didn't write that song, folks. A fella by the name of Otis Redding wrote that song 2 years earlier. He wrote it to his wife, but didn't do as well. The feminist movement needed a song, and so we've got Aretha singing it. But it was Otis Redding who was saying to his wife, I need respect. And it needs to be unconditional. Now, men, we need to conduct ourselves in a way where our wives will continue to respect us. But wives, you want to know how to really love your husband, you give him that unconditional reverence. 1 Peter 3 and verses 1 and 2, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. They're going to see your respectful behavior, the reverence that you give. Wives, you really want to let your husband know that you love him, you give him a note. Now, don't do it just because the preacher said. But you write him a note, send him a card, and you tell him that you love him. But not just that you love him. Write down some of the reasons why you love him. Some of the things you appreciate that he does that sometimes get taken for granted. Now, husbands, you can do the same thing for your wives, and it'll be very well received as well. But wives, you need to know, we want to be your hero. We don't want to be your project. And so God's word lets us know how to really love our spouses. And again, you go back to verse 33. Husbands, you love your wife as your own body. You love your wife as you love yourself. And wives, you see that you reverence your husband. The Bible truly is the greatest manual on marriage. And I know that we all want God to help us to have the kind of homes that he wants us to have. I tell people, and I use it a lot in wedding ceremonies, I tell them, when marriage is right, it's the closest thing to heaven upon earth. And that's what God wants us to be able to enjoy as husband and wife, helping each other on our way to heaven. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to serve you. And Father, we pray that you'll bless our marriages and that you'll help us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Father, we pray that you'll help wives to reverence their husbands and to be subject to them as the church is to Christ. Please help us to have the homes that you want us to have that bring honor and glory unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we talked a lot tonight about the marriage relationship, but like I mentioned, Paul was really talking primarily and first of all about Christ and the church. And so you see that relationship. And one of the things that we learn about that relationship is that Christ is the Savior of the body. Let me ask you, are you in the body? Are you in the church of our Lord? There's only one way in. The Lord adds you when you obey the gospel. Have you taken that step? If not, will you make this the night that you'll come to Christ and put him on in baptism for the forgiveness of sins? And if you've taken that step but have fallen away, need to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. So will you think about those things? And if you need to respond, do it this evening as we stand and sing this good song.
To thee for Christ.